This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم. Can you imagine 6.5 hours away for this guy to get up on stage? All the way from Canada. The flight here was 6 hours, just so you know. So I had to sit 6 hours to get here. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. MashaAllah, sisters are louder than the brothers. And there are a few sisters here too. Don't worry, sisters. I gotta wait. Jazakumullah khair for all of you for coming out. This is a quality crowd, right? You guys are the VIPs, man. You could have been at home unwrapping presents and eating turkey. Oh, wrong religion. You could have been doing anything else, but you decided to come out here. And Jazakumullah khair, I really appreciate that for you guys to come out. For those of you who don't know, well, my name is Abu Hafsa, and I took my Shahada back in 1996, and I wasn't always a Muslim. And just in case you're going, I saw him on YouTube already. You didn't. You might have seen a version of this story on YouTube, but I never, ever, ever give the same lecture twice, so you didn't see this on YouTube. You're going to make them people wish they were here when you leave here tonight, inshallah. Because we want to really motivate you and make you excited, because you have the best gift that has ever been given to anyone, and that is your Islam. And I'm going to tell you how I was allowed to be a part of all that. I was born in Canada, the eastern part of Canada, in the province of Newfoundland. Do you know that province?
Nope.
Really? MashaAllah, sisters know everything, right? It's the eastern part of Canada. It's the furthest eastern province that is in the country. And it's very cold there most of the year. It can get to be like minus 35 degrees there on a regular basis, right? Minus 40 degrees. I was born in a snowstorm in June. So that will tell you a little bit about that place. I was born completely without my eyesight. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. I'll get into a little bit of that later, but that was the condition of when I was born. And when I was 5 years old, my mom relocated the whole family, and she moved to Nova Scotia, another province in Canada, similar to the one I was born in, but this one was the only place that had a school that was for completely blind people. People like me, people who couldn't see. So she sold everything that she had and she moved us all to that province. To my school where I was going at the time, it was a boarding school. I stayed there from Sunday night until Thursday night. And then she would come on Friday and I would go home with her on the weekends. Now, I come from an Irish background, so I do. So,
hey,
I just caught the people who weren't paying attention. All of a sudden, he's Irish up here. So every time my mom would come and get me, she would do the grocery shopping for the house. And we're not like our Indian brothers. Jazakumullah khairan. We don't eat biryani, right? Irish people, we don't eat that. We eat potatoes every day. Every day. And I don't mean just like every other day. I mean every single day. Boiled, baked, fried, scalloped, barbecued, in their jackets, out of their jackets, no jackets whatsoever, every day. So on the weekends, my mom would come and she would buy the 20 kilo bag of potatoes. And guess who would have to carry that bag? That little kid. It's about as tall as this thing here. I'd have to walk through the streets like this with my with my bag of potatoes on my shoulders. And my mom, one day I stopped my mom and I said, listen, mom, you should pay me for this. Can you imagine, right? And my mom, when she had time, she would tell me things. And when she didn't have time, she would just go, and that would be that. So that day she had time and she stopped in the middle of the street and she said, okay, son, I'm gonna pay you starting today. I'm going to let you stay in my house. I'm going to let you eat from these potatoes that I worked all week to buy. I'm going to clean your clothing. I'm going to take you back and forth to school. And after that, I didn't bother my mom anymore. I'm very shy to ask my mom for help, for money, at least financially. I'm very shy because no one will ever love you the way your mom will, ever. No one, I don't care. You can marry the most beautiful woman on the planet, brother. The most handsomest man on the planet, sister. And they're not going to love you the way your mom does. Inshallah. So one day with my mom, I came home from school and I had a bad day. So I came into my mom's house. It's never ever going to be my house, right? It's always going to be her house. I said, Mom, today I'm quitting school. Quitting. I've had enough. I know everything I need to know. I'm 7. I don't need to know any more than I know today. I'm quitting. That's it. It's over. Through. Completed. I didn't say it that way, right? I wasn't as flashy then as I am now. So she asked me, she said, are you sure? I said, yes. She said, good. I went like this. Because I don't like getting hit, right? She said, no, I'm not going to hit you. Go into we call it the washroom back home. Here you call it the toilet, right? Go into the toilet and clean the bowl with this cloth I'm going to give you. So I went in and I cleaned it and I came out. She sent me back in 5 times. She didn't like what I did, so she kept making me return back there. And I came out and I was done, and she asked me, she said, how did you like that? I said, I didn't like that at all. I'm not supposed to be doing that work. That's not for a man to do that work. I didn't know about marriage yet, right? But that's how you say I'm sorry, right? You clean the washroom, that's how you do that. If you really messed up, you try to cook. Which means you have to say sorry again, usually, for most of us. So she said to me, she said, well, if you didn't like that, if you quit school, that is what you're going to be doing for someone else for the rest of your life. So tomorrow's your first day. Where are you going to be? What are you going to be doing? I mean, all your friends are going to be in school. Where are you going to be tomorrow? So I'm going to go to school. I'll be in school. And that's where I stayed for the entire rest of my schooling. I graduated sitting in the front row because I wasn't cleaning toilets for anybody ever again in my life. And again, I didn't know about marriage yet. So that was my mom. My mom was dynamic. She still is. She's an incredible person. Allah guide her. But in the summer, I'd go visit my grandmother. And my grandmother is fascinating. She's a lecturer by herself. Born and raised in Canada with an Irish accent. To this day, I don't know how that happened. And I could almost hear her in my head, right? Oh, so you're going up on stage in England. Do you think you're impressing those people? Just remember, you only sat in the airplane. You didn't fly it. If you want to impress me, you'll walk home, so you will. My grandmother would never let you get bigger than your own position, according to her. And she was always rough with me for some reason. Always tough with me. Threatened my life on a daily basis, mashallah. And I used to ask her why. So why are you like that with me? Why are you so difficult with me? She said, because everything that you do will have to be better than everybody else. You were born without eyes, haven't you forgotten? Have you forgotten the fact that you were born without your eyesight? So everything that you do will have to be better. And that's how I was raised. I was always raised to be like that. And she said to me, if I'm difficult to you, if I'm tough with you, and the world is easy, you'll be grateful. And if I'm difficult with you, and the world is difficult, then you'll be ready. And I really think that a lot of the Muslim boys need that. Boys. Girls already get treated like that, right? Boys. How can you be 40, akhi, and you haven't washed your clothes yet? Oh, no DVD sales tonight, brother. That'll be that. But no, I'm serious. We have to train our boys to be a little bit more, what's the word? Come on, sister, what's the word?
That wasn't a sister.
MashaAllah, your brothers listen well too. Masculine. Masculine, brother. You have to be raised with my grandmother. My grandmother would have taken Qaddafi in 3 days. That would have been that. Muammar, get out of it. Those people hate you. Get lost. Right? And he would have went too. That would have been the funny thing. He would have actually left. So that was my grandmother. Extremely tough, mashallah. And there's more about her later on in the story. But that's us. I mean, I was always... But I never felt abused in my house. I mean, I was always running from my uncles, and my grandmother would threaten me on a daily basis. But I never felt abused, though. I always felt like these people are doing this because they love me. I really did. I really felt that way. And I still do. I don't have any negative things to say about my family at all. Allah guide them all, inshallah. But it should be no surprise to anyone, at the age of 8... I know, right? 15 minutes and he's only 8. Goodness gracious, we sat here for 6 hours. It should be no surprise to anyone at the age of 8 that I wanted to be a wrestler. I wanted to wrestle. So I came into coach's office. I was about as tall as this here. And I was skinny. Like, where are my East African people at? Where are you guys at? No East Africans in the building at all. You hear? Zagallah here, sister. My Somali brothers are slim, right? Like, I wasn't slim. I was skinny. Like, there's Somali slim and there's Irish potato famine skinny. And that was me. My grandmother used to say, for God's sake, don't wrestle with your shirt off. Every dog in the neighborhood will come running. So I went into my coach's office and I said, Coach, I want to be a wrestler. Like that. He said, get out. Get that. Get out. Come back in a year if you want. But for now, just get out of my office. So I went out and I ate potatoes every day. I came back, I gained about 0.5 kilo. And I said, Coach, I want to be a wrestler. I was 9 that time. So he looked at me again and he said, get out. I said, nope. I'm not getting out. I'm here to stay. I'm becoming a wrestler now. Right now. Today. So I said, all right. It's your funeral. He picked one of the bigger boys. He said, you're going to fight him. And I couldn't see, so I didn't care. I said, yeah, I'll fight him. So they rang the bell, and that little boy beat me up. Big boy beat me up. He beat me up. Let's just say that. And I went home. You know how you get beat up when you're a kid? You pretend like you're not hurt. So you walk like this. Well, at least Irish kids do that. So I walked in my mom's house. And I wanted the Desi mom, right? You know, the Indian mom. Berta. Why are you wrestling? Berta. I love you. Don't wrestle again. Okay. I could be 30 and she still talk to me like that, right? Don't wrestle ever again. Or the Arab mom. I wanted her too. Habibi. Nur Laini. Don't wrestle. We'll protest. I'll call my friends. We'll put henna. We'll make signs. We'll protest. The wrestling will be banned in the school. Or my Somali mom. Hoyo. Alelahayo. Mede hoyo, mede. Said, hoyo, I got beat up. Don't wrestle again. I wanted her, right? She would have made ambula for me, right? With sugar. Or malawah. MashaAllah. But I have an Irish mom. And Irish moms don't talk like that to their Irish sons. So I went in and my mom looked at me. I was a little bit hurt. She goes to me with all this Irish love in her heart, you know. She goes, what's your problem? Why are you walking like that? What's wrong with you? I said, I wrestled and I lost. I got beat up. I said, well, it's wrestling after all. It's not ballet. What did you think they were going to do to you? Do you think they were going to just let you walk out of there like that? Did I tell you to wrestle? No. Did Coach tell you to wrestle?
No.
I know he didn't tell you because he called me earlier today. And he told me he was going to let you wrestle, and I said he should. Actually, I told him which boy to fight you. And I'm going to call him because at least he won today, unlike someone else I know. He's like, wow, I love you too, Mom. You're the best, you know. Thank you, Hoyo. So the next day, I was, I was wrestling again, obviously. I got beat up for 2 years. Every day for two. Can you imagine getting beat up every day for 2 years? And it's legal. It's not like you can go and actually tell the teacher, because the teacher is the ref. They're beating you up every single day. And in wrestling is real funny, right? Because I fought this one, and I'm going to not dwell on this part too long because it's a very sad part of my life. I started to look better, but I fought one young guy. And I remember he hit me so hard. Did you ever try to not fall? Like when you slip, if you have ice. I don't think you have ice in UK. Like we fall, like in Canada, you try to break your fall. Like that. You're trying to do all this. Well, he hit me so hard, I just went like this. And that's exactly how hard he hit me. I just fell flat. I used to get beat up every day. And I started to learn, though. So even though I would lose, I would look good. Kind of like Chelsea. Hey, brothers are awake now. Hey, 6 hours went like that, didn't it? Oh, yes. Mashallah. So an interesting thing happened. I ended up getting changed, transferred to a different school when I was about 12. And I wrestled again, and I ended up actually winning. It was a big deal for me when I was a little kid. And I won quite a bit until one brilliant person in the crowd suggested that I fight the coach. So why don't you wrestle the coach? And I'm Irish, of course. I would have wrestled a lion back then. But I can't just say,
okay.
I have to make a production of it, right? Okay, I'll fight the... Where is he? I'll fight him and his whole family. Where's that coach? The coach was like this far away from me, about 5 feet away from me, and I couldn't see him. So I'm talking about him and his lineage and his family and his... basically saying all this stuff about him, and he's right there listening to me. So I ended up wrestling, and I ended up winning. But a very funny thing happened to me when I won. I stood in the middle of the ring like this, and all the kids, there was about 100 people in the building at the time, and they all started to yell because they hated the coach. Obviously, they hated him. And I was there, and I felt like a little... 1987 Justin Bieber. I was so attracted by that noise when I was a kid, because I'd never heard anything like that before. And then that day, I decided that I wanted to be a wrestler for the rest of my life. Now, why am I focusing on wrestling so much? Because that was my religion before Islam. My journey is not a religious one. I didn't investigate religion. I didn't go through the Bible, and I could have cared less about the Bible. Christmas to me was another reason to get presents and eat a lot. I really didn't care that it was the birth of anyone. I believed in God, though, but I used to think religious people were crazy. And I didn't know the difference between righteous and self-righteous. The self-righteous, they have to tell you about their deeds all the time, where the righteous, their deeds speak for themselves. I didn't really know a whole lot about that. I used to just think religious people were nuts. They used to knock my door at 6 o'clock in the morning on Sundays. Have you witnessed the coming of Jehovah? Nah, but you're going to witness something if you're here at nightfall. Boom, right? Slam the door. I would see them all the time. I thought religious people were out of their minds. So my religion was wrestling before Islam. That's why I focused so much on it. And it was my pastime from the time I was 9 up until 2004. So that was like 20 years, 1984 to 2004. So time goes by and I start to win a little bit. And I start to get a little bit arrogant, right? Just a little. Actually quite a bit. is I was listening to the wrestlers of those days, the Ric Flairs, and I didn't like Hulk Hogan. I hated him. I thought he was an idiot. Right? Ric Flair had the nice cars and the pretty ladies, and Hulk Hogan just had a belt. So I really didn't care about him. But at the time, I would walk into my school, and I would kind of command the attention of all the students to the point where teachers would say, I'll let him make you laugh if you do your work. So I became like part of the, you know, part of the day. If the students were good, the teacher would get up and let me talk a little bit. So time goes by, and I'm in the middle school, and I'm wrestling, and I start to think, though, because you know when you're in high school and you win and you're an athlete, you get invited to a lot of parties, is that right? Right, brother? No, brother, no athletes in here.
Brothers, I don't know. I never won anything.
MashaAllah. That's how it was. You would win, and you'd get invited to all the cool parties. And I would go home, and I would think to myself, is this really it? Is this really all there is? Like, seriously, you just, every day, is that going to be my job in life, to just beat people up and you know, chat to the next pretty girl and go to the next party? Is that really all? So I said, you know what? I believed in a creator. I never believed in a trinity. I just believed in one creator. So I said, and this is how I prayed back then, you know. I said, you know what? If you're real, my biology teacher says you're not real, but I believe you are. So if you're real, I need to know what this is about, because this is really, like, silly. If I'm only here to wrestle, then I'm wasting time here, and I really don't have a purpose. So, if you're real, can you imagine? If you're real, I need you to show me something, why I'm here, okay? Amen. Thank you very much. That's what I prayed. That's how I prayed. I didn't know all the...
Allahumma hadina wa hadina wa hadina.
I didn't know all that stuff. I just knew how to ask. Found a book that was given to me in my library. It was written by a man named Alex Haley. It was called Roots. You guys ever read that?
Brother, yeah.
No, you didn't. Did you read that? Yeah.
I heard of it. Does that count?
Huh? Oh, jeez. Anyone can do that, man. Read the book, akhi. That's your homework from this event. You sat here for 6 hours. You can read a book, inshallah. So read that book. That's the story of an African that was stolen away from Africa, kidnapped to America and made a slave from the time he was a little young boy. And it traces his family all the way down to the 1970s. I read that book, and that was the first real semi-connection that I had with Islam when I read that book. But I liked that these people worship one God. I liked that. But I didn't have any more information until I read the autobiography of Malcolm X. Now, Malcolm, rahmatullah alayh, may Allah give him the highest Jannah and place him amongst the prophets and their companions. He was an amazing personality. And if you want to know really who started this whole da'wah thing in the West really properly, I don't know of anyone who's doing it when Malcolm was doing it. And I don't mean the nation, I mean after the nation. He was doing this before all the conferences and all the nice little flash screens and all the YouTubes and all the Googles and all the Abu Hafsas and all the tours. He was doing it long before that. And Malcolm captivated me. From the first time I heard him come out and go,
Assalamu alaikum.
That captivated me, because you stop a whole audience with one word. And that's how he used to say it too. He wasn't like yelling and screaming like me. He would just come out and go,
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters, respected guests, friends, and enemies.
And I thought, wow, Malcolm addressed everyone. No one is left out, right? I was fascinated by Malcolm X. And Malcolm X talked about a way of life. And that way of life, according to him at least at the time, was called Islam. And the people that practiced that way of life were Muslims, according to him. And those people believed in one God. And that one God wasn't a man. I mean, the nation had their own little messed up views on things. I'm talking about after the nation. That one God wasn't like any other being. Laysa kamithlihi shay. There was nothing like him. He is one and unique in his oneness, and according to Malcolm, at least at the time, and that was my only source, by the way. According to Malcolm, his name is Allah. And when I heard about the life of Malcolm and how his life completely changed because of Islam, I completely was enthralled by him and I wanted to be just like Malcolm X. So I would read everything. And I had a lot of friends, Afro-Canadian friends or black friends, and they used to ask me about the history. They would go, "Hey, Farrakhan." I'm like, "Farrakhan? I'm a little bit light for Farrakhan. I know I can't see or nothing, but I know I don't look like him." "Hey, Farrakhan, when did Malcolm die?" I tell him when he died. "When was he born?" Tell him when he was born. "What? How did Elijah Muhammad come?" You tell him how he would come. I knew a lot and I would read everything. But there was one missing ingredient to my story. Couldn't find the Muslims. Didn't know where the Muslims were. Malcolm, again, my only source right now at the time, told me that, well, he didn't tell me. I read that Muslims speak Arabic. So I thought, okay, Arabs. So I went to every kebab house in my neighborhood looking for some Arabs. "Hey, are you Muslim? Get out. If you're not buying, go. If you're not buying, يعني, get out." I went. So, all right, fair enough. No Arabs. He mentioned Indians and subcontinent, so I didn't, and again, I'm not being racist. I just don't know. I didn't know anything else about the people. They didn't tell me anything else to know. So I knew that my South Asian brothers, they drive cabs, right? They drive taxis, right? So I would call taxis. "Are you Muslim? Where do you want to go?" Said, I want to be Muslim, man. "Are you Muslim?" Just, and he would drive away. Oh, wow. I guess not. I didn't know there were Hindus and Sikhs and Arab Christians. I didn't know nothing about that. I just thought they were all Muslims. So I'm like, all right, if I'm supposed to be Muslim, then eventually I'll be one. That was in 92. 4 years went by till 1996, right? And 1996 was a real cool year. I went 29 straight victories that year. I didn't lose that year. I was undefeated that year. Remember how many I won the first year? So I had zero. I didn't win anything the first year. Got beat up and lost every single day. 1996, 29 straight wins and no losses. I also got accepted to go to work in a city called Toronto. You guys know Toronto? Everybody knows Toronto, right? So I applied and I got the job and I get on the airplane. Like, they were going to pay me plus my ticket, plus my accommodations. They were going to take good care of me in Toronto. So I was very happy with my first job. I get off the airplane like this. Spinning through the airport, high-fiving everyone, right? Especially the flight attendants, right? High five. Wow. What's going on? I'm in Toronto. You guys need to be ready. So I get to the... I was a very shy kid, huh? So I get to the orientation thing where you meet all your coworkers and stuff. And it was all the, you know, typical little Canadian names. And there was one lady there. And I said, "You got funny name. I never heard a name like that before in my life." So I said, "What kind of name is that? Is that your real name? Are you serious?" "So why would your mom name you that, man?" I was so shy, right? She goes, "It's an Arabic name." I said, "Wow, Arabic name." And a light went on in my, well, not literally. You know what I mean? You start to remember. Arabic. Malcolm X. Malcolm X talked about Arabs. "Oh, are you Muslim?" She's like, "Yes, I'm Muslim." "I want to be Muslim too." She goes, "What do you know about this?" And I, like, she was in front of me like that, and I just went, "I want to be Muslim too," like that. Don't ever do that, akhi. Don't ever do that, bro. Like, honestly, if you do that to the sisters, they'll kill you, man. Don't ever do that. Or the dads will kill you. Pay the mahar, and mashallah, don't do that, though. Don't jump at them like that. So I said, "I want to be Muslim too." She goes, "How much do you know about Islam?" I said, "Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I just know they believe in one God and I believe in one God. And Malcolm X, I want to be just like Malcolm X. I want to be Muslim too." She goes, "Okay, calm down. It's the story of my life. If I ever wanted to sum my life up in two words, it'd be calm down. I don't even need Red Bull. I got wings already. MashaAllah. So she said, I'm going to go home and I'm going to get a book. I said, no. You're not going anywhere. I want to become Muslim right now, today, immediately. Make it happen. As if there's some magical Muslim dust that gets sprinkled on your head and you become Muslim. She goes, no, listen, I got to go home and get this book because I need to know that you know something. I don't want you just to rush into anything and become Muslim and just wait, relax, take it easy, calm down. I said, all right, listen, go get your book and don't forget it. If you forget that book, don't come tomorrow. I was in no position to tell her not to come, but I thought, you know what? I found a Muslim, I'm not letting go. That's it, I found a Muslim, I don't care. We get blamed a lot for forcefully converting people, is that right? What happens when you're forcing your conversion onto someone else? Like, I was trying to force my way in. They're like, Muslims are telling me relax. When Muslims tell you relax, there's something wrong, really, seriously? Because that was the easiest shahada in Canadian history, I think. So the next day, she comes back with this book. And I really could care less. Honestly, like, she could have said, but I forget half the conversation, honestly. We're sitting in a public place, and she's going through the pillars of Islam, right? She's going, and the Muslims, the first pillar of Islam is the oneness of Allah. The Muslims believe that there's nothing worthy of worship besides Allah, and that's how it was. I didn't really listen to her. After that, I was like, all right. She goes, okay, do you understand that? Yeah. Next. And the second pillar of Islam is the Salah. The Muslims, they should face Mecca 5 times. And she's going on and on and on and on and on. She goes, do you understand that? Yeah. Next. And the third pillar is Zakah, where the Muslims pay their charity to the poor. Do you understand that? Yeah, give the poor all your money. Yeah, I get it. No worries. And she went through the whole book like that. And she goes, so do you have any questions? So yeah, I got one. Can I be Muslim now? The easiest shahada in Canadian history. MashaAllah. So on July 3rd, 1996, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. So we bear witness that there's absolutely nothing at all, ever, worthy of worship besides Allah. And we further bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the last and final messenger of Allah. Now, I told you that story so I could tell you this one. Another 3 hours, right? You want me to stop here? Because they told me 40 minutes. I think I done went over 40 minutes. You want me to keep going or you want me to wrap it up? Keep going? Sisters say keep going. I'm listening to the sisters, inshallah. Because you know you brothers don't control much. Sisters said keep going, I'm going to keep going. Let's keep going. Jazakallah khair. So, see, I told you, man. Listen, the sisters have my back. No one's gonna touch me at all. Alhamdulillah. So, I took my shahada. Now I have to go back home, right? And remember, I didn't know where the Muslims were. Didn't know. So I'm sitting on the airplane and I start to think, because it's a 3-hour flight from Toronto to my, you know, home province of Nova Scotia. I start to think, what is going to happen? Because I really thought that I'm going to be the only Muslim in the whole place, in the whole province. And I thought, these white people are going to kill me. Because I left their religion. I'm going to have to like kidnap someone to get married because ain't no Muslim people around here. I'll have to grab, because I've seen the movies, right? I know how we do. We just grab up someone. I'm kidding. So remember how I got off the airplane in Toronto? Like this, right? Wow. I got off the airplane in Nova Scotia like this. Like a little cat, you know, like a little quiet, little miskin, harmless.
I'm not a terrorist.
You know, guy. And I walked up to the baggage place where you take your luggage, and my mom's right there. So she comes to me and she goes, hey, how was your trip? Did they pay you? Like, how was it like? How was your trip? How did they take care of you? And I said, Mom, guess what I did? Guess what I did? She goes, oh, when's your court date, you know? How much was your bail? And how much am I going to have to spend for a lawyer? I said, nothing like that, you know. She goes, it's worse than that. What's her name? Who is she then? Because she thought, you know, I got married or something. That was yet to come. So I said, no, no, it's nothing like that. She goes, well, what'd you do then? I became a Muslim. Just like that. And you have to, like, just vision it. Just put that picture in your head. You got me standing with all these people running for their suitcases and their luggage. Because they're going behind me. They're going behind my mom. They're going, I became a Muslim. Can you imagine? She goes, listen, calm down. Can we talk about this when we get home, please? Is that possible? Or, no, no, I'd like to talk about it right now. And it was, there was a wisdom, there was a hikmah in that. I thought, if she kills me, there's going to be witnesses. And at least someone would have seen something. So I'm going to talk about being a Muslim right now. I believe in Allah. She goes, listen, I get it. Let's go home. Calm down. Again, story of my life, right? We went home, alhamdulillah, and we talked it over, and I became, you know, she was okay with me becoming Muslim, and there was no worries about that. And it wouldn't have mattered anyway, because honestly, like, she knew that once I've made a decision with my life, there's no one that's going to stop me from making that decision, unless I find out that that decision is wrong. So her only questions to me was, are you happy? Are you safe? And is this a decision you made by yourself? I said, yeah, I'm happy. Yes, I'm safe. And yes, it's a decision that I made all by myself. I didn't marry that sister. I didn't want to. She's just a person who took my shahada. And she actually got married, alhamdulillah. Many people ask me that. Did you marry that sister? No, I did not. That's one question that's not going to be in the Q&A after, if there is one. But I still had some contact with her. So she sent me a phone number of a masjid in my city. I said, wow, there's a mosque in my city? So I come out, and there's a whole bunch of people, about 2,000 people, that play hide and seek. I had to look for 4 years to find them people. Those people are the Muslims. So I roll up on the, wow. I come up to the masjid and I got my Arab brothers, right?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You speak Arabic?
I just became Muslim, man. You speak Arabic. I don't speak Arabic. You want to teach me Arabic? You didn't even teach me Islam. Oh, brother, alhamdulillah, brother. I said, brother, you kicked me out the kebab house last year. You wouldn't let me in. I didn't want to buy nothing. You threw me out. Of course, my Desi brothers. Asla alaykum. Areki halayar. I said, ki halay, you wouldn't let me ride the cab. I asked you about Islam and you kicked me out. All of a sudden, I'm your brother. Okay, fair enough. No worries. And I love those people. They just didn't know how to do this. Or they were doing it on a very small level. I'm not going to say that they didn't do it because I want to give them the benefit of the doubt, inshallah. But they just weren't doing it on a level. And Allah used other means to allow me to enter Islam. He used Malcolm X, who died 10 years before I was born. And he used his sister, a lady, right? Took my shahada. She gets reward for every single thing I do now without having to do anything. Just has to stay with her husband and hang out and just cha-ching, right? Every tour, every DVD, every YouTube video with Bona Muhammad, right? Bona's one of my best friends, mashallah. She gets the ajr, everything, and I mean everything. Every letter of the Quran that I read, every fasting minute, every hajj, every whatever. And then my kids came, they're here, Hafsa and Nusayba, they're here. Since she helped me enter Islam, she gets ajr for them too. So every time they pray, Every time they fast, every time they make hajj, inshallah they will. Wife took shahada from me, so the same sister gets ajr for her. Her daughter took shahada from her, so the same sister gets shahada for that. This sister is just, wow, mashallah. And you know what's even nicer? She doesn't get anything for the mistakes I do. What a deal, right? You only take the good stuff. You don't get even the bad stuff. So if I goof up, she doesn't get any problems. She only gets for the good. And she has no idea that I do this. Can you imagine the surprise, inshallah, that she'll get on Yawm al-Qiyamah? She's the one who helped start all of this back in those days. So she sends me a cassette tape of the Quran. Cassette tape, right? Remember those? That's pre-iPod. Back in the early part of the 90s, right? Middle 90s, 96, 97. And it's a Quran, and it's an Arabic-English Quran. And it's a, mashallah, it's a cassette tape copy, translation with the English. And I put the first cassette tape in my player. First thing I heard, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Wow. I never heard a book recited before. I heard many books read before, but never recited. And I just thought to myself, do they read the whole book like that? And then, of course, it went on, right? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alif Lam Mim. Thalikal Kitabu La Rayba Fihi Hudan Lil Muttaqin. Alladhina yu'minuna bil ghaibi wa yuqimuna as-salata wa mimma razaqnahum yunfiqun. والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون. And it went on and on and on and on, and I thought, how could something like this be hidden from us? How is that fair? And I had a little bit of a resentment for the people, a little bit. I love them, but I had a resentment for them because they really abused us. You see us every day. Every 25th of December, you see us believing in crap, Santa Claus. Can you imagine? Spend $2,000 for toys for your kids and give the credit to somebody else. Reindeer that fly, white men that come down chimneys, and you have your corner shops.
Yani they are kuffar, nijasa, mushrik, kilab.
Oh, I know. And we walk in and you go, how are you? Merry Christmas. Smiling, right? How are you? Have a wonderful holiday. He leaves.
Kalb, kafir, zaniya.
Seriously. And you go home and what do you read?
Wallahu alladhi la ilaha illa hu.
Alimul ghaibi wa shahada. He knows this, what's unseen and what's seen. So he knows when you go, Merry Christmas. And then you call them kafirs when they leave. He knows that. What an oppression that they've done to us by not giving us this. Who cares if you don't want it? Maybe we do. That's what I thought. Because I thought, how do you keep this from people? How is it that you just hide this from everybody? This is a book where there's no doubt. La rayba fi, there's no doubt in it. What are you afraid of? EDL? I wish they were here. What? Get off, man. Why you bother my head? Why? What? You wish. That was the best part. What, do you sleep, Akhi? You love that, man. Just disrupt people, man. You don't come disrupt me. You kidding?
That's it. We'll never invite him back again.
All right? How do you keep this from people? There's so many verses I could go on and on, but the one that really captivated me the most. When I was a kid, I told you what? I didn't tell you I was born blind, did I? I said I was born what? What did I say? Without my eyesight. Because that's how I was taught. My mom taught me like that. You're not blind, you just can't see. I was like, all right, fair enough. No worries. So I start reading, and I come across a verse. فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَى الْأَبْصَارُ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَى الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي السُّجُورِ. It's not the eyes that are blinded, but it's the hearts that are blinded. So my mom was right. She didn't even know it. She was right. Allah, for some reason, decided to take this little kid from Eastern Canada that gets overlooked. I almost got kicked off the wrestling team because I was too small. I almost didn't make it, lost for 2 years, got beat up. Started to win, started to do very well. And Allah decided for some reason, I don't know why, to look at this little kid because of his heart, not because of his eyesight, and allow him to enter Islam. And now, I get the best job in the world because I get to be in front of you guys. The best job in the world. And I don't care if there's 50 of you here or 50,000 people. You guys are my family. And jazakallah khair for coming out. I got one more story. Get the 10-minute guy out of here, man. He ain't coming up again. He comes up, he's getting a stunner. Straight, simple. 10 minutes. What? It's not going to happen, bro. My sister told me to continue about 30 minutes ago. But I didn't mean this. Anyway, my grandmother is coming to visit us. Oh my goodness gracious. Now I'm scared. I wasn't scared of no one else. My grandmother scares me still. She's not even alive and she still scares me a little bit. So the day she came, I avoided her for the whole day. I had other things to do. I didn't really, but I just pretended I did. But I realized I'm going to have to come home because she's staying overnight. So unless I'm going to sleep in the park, I need to come back home. So I did. She came into my room and she said to me, I heard you changed your religion, like, did you? I said, yeah, sort of. So what class of a heathen are you now? Said, I'm Muslim. Muslim, that's me. I'm a Muslim. Yes, I am. All the nice talk is all the tough talk is done now, right? Grandmother's in front of me. Subhanallah. Said, what do you believe in now? I said, well, the book says, I don't want to hear the book. If I want to hear the book, I'll open it for myself and I'll read it. What do you believe in? Which is very important, honestly. The non-Muslims don't want you to read off a script. They want to know what you believe, for real. So I said, I believe that there is only one God worthy of worship. This God created everything, but himself is not created and he has no sons, no daughters, no fathers. He is one and unique in his oneness. And I believe that his right name is Allah. He says, well, believe that also. He said, really? Your priest doesn't believe that. I said, I don't care. I never believed in three gods. I only believe in one. He said, okay. So what else do you believe then? I said, I believe that Allah sent us prophets and messengers to teach us how to worship Him and to show us how to behave towards each other. Oh, why? Who are they? He said, Adam and Abraham and Noah and Isaac and Jacob and Solomon and David and Jesus, peace be upon them all. He said, I believe that as well. Good. I said, and I also believe that there was a last and final messenger and his name was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And peace be upon him and peace be upon all the others that came before him. He said, well, I don't know much about Muhammad, but I believe everything else you say. But I have three questions for you though. She said, am I still your grandmother? Now that you changed your religion, have you changed your family as well? I said, no, you're going to be my grandmother. You're always going to be my grandmother. And no one is going to take that away because Allah is the one who made it that way. I said, well, are you still Irish? It's right up there with world hunger, right? That's a very important question for her, at least. I said, I am. I said, yes, I am, Grandma. I'm still Irish. My ethnicity doesn't change. I love suqar, but I'm still Irish. Right? MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. I do ki Swahili kidogo too, but I'm still Irish. MashaAllah. Third question, and this is still the question that is my probably the most interesting question I've ever been asked in my life. I'm almost done. Don't send them up here, please. Are your teeth going to be as white as those Pakistani people teeth are white? I said, what? I said, they come by my house to repair things every now and then and their teeth are bloody gorgeous, so they are. I said, and the funny thing with my grandmother is anyone who's not like ethnically Canadian is Pakistani by default. You could be from Ghana. He's a little darker than the other Pakistanis, but Pakistani is right enough. Right? So that was her thing. So she was okay. She really was. She was, mashallah. She was okay with my becoming Muslim. And after that, I didn't really care what anyone else had to say. My mom was okay. My grandmother was okay. Alhamdulillah. Again, time goes by and I end up lecturing and I'm here. Alhamdulillah. I don't know how I ended up managing to ever be on this level, but again, Allah chose me to be Muslim, so everything else is kind of gravy after that, right? I have the best job in the world, and alhamdulillah, my mom told me the other day, she said, this Islam of yours made you the best dad on the planet. So I have my daughters here, sisters can say salams to them. And that's my time, you guys. Jazakumullah khair for coming out. And again, this is the best, man. You are where I get my energy from. I really, really mean that, and I love you guys for the sake of Allah. Jazakullah khair. يقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.